Okay, well, good. Glad it all worked out. My name is Rick. I'm a compulsive overeater and a sugar addict, and I am glad to be here today. Good to see everybody. I know a couple of you from other meetings. Nice that we have a sort of national crowd here. I am a compulsive overeater and a sugar addict, and also an alcoholic, if anybody can relate to that. I came to OA through AA. I like the spirit of this meeting. Thanks to Anne for inviting me. I like to think I'm different, or I tend to think I'm different, but that is the immediately the most common symptom of OA, which is thinking, well, my case is a little different. I kind of relate to you people, but and that symptom, whatever, however it manifests itself, keeps a lot of people in misery, and kept me that way for a long time, not plugged into OA, and my eating way out of control for a long, long time. I actually came in pretty early, pretty young to OA in 1980. I was coming from AA. I had found that I was out of control of my eating, and somebody told me about OA, so I came in, and I didn't stay though. But I did okay for a while. I came in because I had, when I was drinking, the eating, I didn't notice it so much. Mainly I was drinking. And but when I got to AA, I found that first of all, the first manifestation was I was a secretary of a meeting, and I found that I would buy the cookies. That was one of the duties of the secretary, and I would set them all out and make the coffee, and then I would, have a couple of cookies, while I was waiting for people to come in, and then I would have a couple of more, and then a couple of more, and people came in, and I would, it was very embarrassing. I'd find myself just going up for a couple of more cookies, as soon as I ate the last couple, and I imagine people were looking at me like, "What's wrong with him? Why is he doing that?" And then very quickly, I got completely into compulsive overeating, especially sugar eating. It was just driving around from sugar delivery place to delivery place with a sticky steering wheel and half out of my head. And, I realized I had something wrong. But so I came to OA and in 1980, and people, I was not overweight at the time. I'd been sort of underweight while drinking, and welcomed me, and I went to meetings. There weren't too many men in the San Fernando Valley where I came in at that time, but that was fine. Nobody made me feel unwelcome, and I worked the program. I got a sponsor. I worked the steps. I moved away, which is a big occupational hazard, I guess, for in all 12-step programs. If when you move, things aren't the same in the new place, and you don't feel comfortable. And, but I actually dug in, and I went to work. I was one of the manifestations of my being different, as I was a sort of a health nut, vegetarian, vegan type. And I went to work at this health farm, where I found a lot of compulsive overeaters coming in to control and enjoy their eating. Right, they were to get healthy and follow this diet, and they did fasting there, which is a really quick way to take off weight. The only problem is it doesn't stick, you go right back to eating. And so anyway, I started a meeting there, and I sponsored people, and I did okay for a couple of years until I moved again, and then I faded out. I did what a lot of people do, and stopped going to meetings. And I came up with this idea that I could work, I could control my eating, or do the OA compulsive overeating problem through AA. I could do that. I had some years of sobriety by then, and I was getting sponsees, and but it never worked. It never worked for me. And I guess I'm a good bad example of what happens when you try to do that. If you think you can work your compulsive overeating, if you can control it or whatever, or address it through other programs, good luck. I tried that for 37 years, okay? 37 years I was sober in AA, but I was completely out of control with my eating and my sugar addiction. And I had this other feature, one of the things I do, they talk about restrictors in OA, always the big tent. We have people who've lost 500 pounds, people who've never been overweight, bulimics, anorexics, sugar addicts like me, and restrictors. I think I'm one of them, maybe, because I found this trick where I could fast and lose weight quickly. I'd get up about 40 pounds overweight, and then I would start fasting intermittently. Not the kind of intermittent fasting they do now where you don't eat for 18 hours, but like, 36 hours or 2 days or a week, or I fasted at the health place for 22 days. I ate nothing. And people have said, well, if you can do that, how could you possibly be a compulsive overeater? And the trick is, if I don't eat anything, I can do that. I can restrict like that. But if I'm trying to eat less, forget it. If I'm trying to go on some kind of diet, forget it. Because once I start eating, the phenomenon of craving sets in and I'm off, right? And so it's easier for me to eat nothing and do that for a while than to try to eat a little bit or try to stick to moderate portions. So I sort of worked that for 37 years. I would get to my top weight and I would starve myself down and I would feel fine. And then in a short time, I'd be just, oh, and I would also eat moderately for a little bit after the fasting because you're glad to get anything, right? But after just 2 or 3 days or so, I would be right back. And it would take me a while to eat my way up. And then I would starve myself down and then eat my way up and starve myself down on and on for years and years. And the sugar addiction, I tried to control that with, health food, sugar, maple syrup and agave and various things like that. And that worked for a little while, and then it wouldn't work, and I'd be back on the hard stuff. Sugar for me is a drug. It is, period. I mean, it acts just like a drug. It does. I don't go to jail behind it. I guess I could, if I got so zoned out on sugar from eating in the car that, I wasn't paying attention and got in an accident. But in every other way, it's absolutely a drug. The way it affects me is the same, and the addictive properties are the same. So that's just the way it is with me, and it's been that way. Another one of the lies I want to tell myself is I'm mainly an alcoholic. That's this whole overeating thing came along later. But it's not really true. I was a sugar addict from before I can remember. My mom wanted to, she was kind of a doting mom, first child, single mom. And my grandpa lived in the house, and they just wanted to give me whatever I wanted. And what I wanted was sugar. And I ate so much of it that I was having my, I had to go for dental surgery when I was 4 years old for my 2-year molar. It was rotted out from sugar. And they told me later I had a case of rickets from eating nothing but sugar when I was a child. It wasn't like we were poor or anything. It's just that's all I wanted to eat. And I actually had a mild case of rickets and still show that today from eating nothing but sugar. As far as the quantities go, one of the ways I'm different is I was never morbidly obese, as were many members of my family. Not sure why that is, because I ate plenty. When I was a kid, I was the champion eater of my family from the time I was, I don't know, 10 years old or so. Started out with cleaning my plate, and people liked that, But then it went on to eating more than anybody. I could out-eat anybody in the family throughout my, today, if I wanted to, I could out-eat anybody that I know of. One guy I met could out eat me in my whole eating career. Otherwise, I could take on the biggest guys in the room and say, let's do some eating. But I never was morbidly obese. I started drinking very early, so that kind of short-circuited the thing. I was kind of a bad, low-bottom alcoholic. But as soon as I got sober, it manifested itself again, and I was off, you know. I have that thing with quantities where I don't, I mean, most people, even, you know, gourmets and people who love food, when they'll talk about food in this loving, wonderful way, and but then when they get full, they stop eating, right? That never was a problem with me. I can feel full, but that doesn't mean I want to stop eating. I keep eating until, you know, I am, you know, till the food is gone, basically. I mean, that's the way it is with me. I can, you know, today my abstinence is 3 meals a day. Moderate meals a day, you know, like one plate and no in between and no second helpings and no sugar, you know. But I could eat 5 plates, you know, one plate is fine. I'm not bereft. I'm not, you know, I'm okay after, you know, 5 minutes or so. You know, I feel fine with one plate, but I could have gone on and ate 3 plates anytime, anytime. When I finish my moderate meal, there's this kind of, even today, you know, and I've been abstinent now for somewhere around 1700 days, I guess. It's 4 years and 11 months, or 10 months and 25 days or something. I'll be 5 years, if I stay abstinent, I'll be 5 years abstinent on March 5th. But even today, I still have that thing where at the end of the moderate meal that I know is going to be okay, I'll still have this kind of, you know, must we part so soon feeling about, you know, just stopping eating. The meal is over. But what I have achieved is sugar neutrality, right? I never thought I would get this because I was a stone sugar addict for so long. And there was no end to it. I mean, sitting in parking lots and eating whole bags of stuff and going back in for more. But I couldn't even get out of the parking lot or the store, you know, eating myself sick that way on sugar stuff. And there's never enough. I'd go to the Trader Joe's and they have the little display by the counter, you know, with all these gourmet chocolate products and all that. And I look at that now and I think it's just not enough. You know, that wouldn't be enough. If I had them all, I wouldn't be satisfied. And I don't want to eat sugar now because I know what it's going to do to me. It's like going down the liquor aisle, you know, it just isn't there. And I never thought that would happen. And the secret of that, if anybody's wondering, is you stop chipping at it. You know, if you're an alcoholic, you don't have a beer on a hot day. You don't have a little champagne at a wedding. You don't have a little bit because you got company. You know, that ain't gonna work for a sugar addict like me. It's total abstinence from refined sugar, or I'm back in it again. You know, that was the secret of getting sugar neutrality, was not eating any of it for a while, even though I wanted to. You know, I had to come to OA, and I had, again, you know, I had to return as a newcomer, and work the steps and be a newcomer and use the tools and call people and, you know, do the whole thing from, you know, I couldn't work it through my AA program anymore. I had to work it as a new AA member. And it's kind of funny. You know, we need people to do service. You know, we need secretaries and treasurers and all of that, literature people. And my thing in AA is I came in here with like 42 years sober. And so my usual thing was when that stuff came up, I thought, well, we'll let the new people do that. You know, they need the service work and I don't want to hog it. And I came into OA and they were asking for a secretary and I was starting to do that. And I thought, wait a minute, I am the new person who needs the service, you know? So that was what I had to do and address this thing. You know, I got another disease besides alcoholism. I have compulsive overeating, and there are some things that are similar, but like they say otherwise in other places, the credits don't necessarily transfer. But I knew what to do, at least from my OA. Sugar neutrality, I'm able to maintain my abstinence by having a food plan and be sticking real close to the OA program. And I have to do that even more maybe than in AA. I have to do my food program one day at a time. I was talking to somebody this morning who talk he was he's a diabetic and he can't eat all sorts of things. And it reminded me, yeah, I can't stay away from these things forever, but I certainly can one day at a time, and it works out okay. I remember 40 years sober going, deciding, I've got to quit eating sugar again. I've got to stop. And going to work, and they have a sort of buffet, all you can eat. And they had a giant plate of chocolate chip cookies there, which is one of my favorite things. And but anything will do. And I just thought, with 40 years sober, a bunch of sponsees, sort of the elder statesman of OA, the thought went through my head, if I can never have another chocolate chip cookie as long as I live, I might as well kill myself. I can't do it. And I caught myself, okay, well, you're a sugar addict. But it still took me a while to get, down enough, to get beat up enough to come to OA, where I learned that it's one day at a time, and I can certainly do anything one day at a time. I can not eat altogether one day at a time, but I don't do that anymore. That whole fasting thing, in case you perked up your ears when I said that and thought, oh, I should try that. Don't do that, because it's just another one of those false control things, and it will give you the feeling that you can control this, and you will be right back. If you're like me, you'll be right back in the same mess, which I did for 37 years, and I was in sort of a daze for those 37 years. I know you guys are up in the Monterey area, the 831 area code. I lived in Santa Cruz. That health place was in Hollister, and the leader of that health place, the real guru of this whole health movement, was a compulsive overeater. And he, to his credit, he admitted it when I talked to him about it when I went there. And he joined OA. And after I was long gone, he was in OA, and he became the sort of guru of OA in the Santa Cruz Mountains. And he had many, many sponsees. He was a gifted leader and speaker and all that. And I was up there, and he invited me to his 20th OA birthday party, and they rented a hall for it. And everybody, 100 people were there from all over Santa Cruz County. And he got up and he introduced me, and I'm so glad to see my sponsor Rick is here. And there I was, not abstinent at all, and he's introducing me, and everybody's looking at me with admiring gazes. He sponsors Art, and that experience, and I was still struggling, and that experience, I was in a daze. It didn't even occur to me to go back to OA at that point. That was back in 2000 or something. Didn't even occur to me. Oh, I'm good. That's good for them. I'm doing okay here. I'm down in my weight, and I'm not eating sugar right now. But I was within a short time. I was within a short time. This is as bad as my alcoholism, is my compulsive overeating addiction. Even though I never got morbidly obese, I will get morbidly obese eventually, I will get it all. I'll have diabetes. I'll have everything. My brother looks just like me, except he weighs about 125 pounds more. My daughter looks a lot like me, and she outweighs me by far. She's much shorter. My granddaughter now is morbidly obese, really. I mean, she outweighs my daughter. And none of these family members, they know I'm in OA. They know I'm not eating sugar, that I'm a sugar addict. I tell them whenever it comes up. I don't harangue them, but I try to tell them, when the subject comes up. And they The last thing in the world that they need in their minds is OA. It absolutely is not anything that they could possibly relate to, even though it's working for me, you know. So I understand that because I did 37 years of that. So, you know, what can I say? I have it's a disease. I have it. Sometimes I've had done meetings where people question me, you know, well, what about your spiritual life? Well, I believe in God. I wouldn't be here unless I were asking God daily to keep me from compulsive overeating today, and to keep me off sugar today, you know, to keep me on my food plan today. And then I thank God at night for those things. Okay? And my feelings and how I relate to my feelings and how I'm growing and all of that. All I know is that's happening with me. It happens with everybody. Learn to get along in the world better. Learn to be less selfish and self-centered. All of that is happening, but it would not be happening if I weren't abstinent a day at a time. If there's one thing that kind of worries me in OA meetings is that people get too far into the sort of psychiatric issues and adult children issues and all of these things, and they kind of can let go of the actual abstinence. You know, I've got to be abstinent today. I got to work my program today. I got to talk to other compulsive overeaters. I got to sponsor when asked. I got to devote the time to it. Then those other things can happen. Then those other things can happen. I think I'm about running out of time, and I thought this was like a 10-15 minute thing. So, but this will just give me more time to hear other people. I'm really glad to be here. Thank you all for being part of my recovery. I certainly couldn't do this by myself.